Hello and welcome to another episode of Juicebox Music Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter McClamrock. With me on the other line, as always, back from his month-long sabbatical in the French Riviera, Nicholas Moreau. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up? I wasn't gone for a month.
I mean, before the podcast, you told me you were at the beach.
That's right. The Oregon coast.
Okay.
Same thing.
The Riviera of the West.
Yes, some might say. But speaking of Rivieras, you've been the Globetrotter recently. So, you know, kudos to you for your little Euro trip. For anybody that's been wondering where we were, well, we just weren't here.
I don't want to get into anything political, but a month-long stint in Hungarian prison doesn't really strike me as a vacation.
No, that's true. That's true. So, we can talk about your crimes later.
Let's dwell on it. Yeah, we have a lot of catching up to do music-wise. We can save that one for another podcast when we're really running out of material.
For the third episode in a row, let's just say it's been a while.
It's been a while, but we're back. Yes. And, you know, that was like our season break, and we're back for season two, starting strong with the school year, you know. We're back to school a little bit late, but that's good.
Yeah.
We're here.
Happy back to school, kids.
Happy back to school. Hope your book bags are a lot lighter than mine were when I was in high school. I mean, I used to carry like 15 books to and from school.
Yeah.
Do they still do that, or do students all have iPads?
I would hope so. I read somewhere today, no, not today, a few days ago, that in Oregon, they've canceled snow days. Like they're not doing them anymore. And instead it's online class. If you have a snow day. So I felt
work
really
from home.
Yeah, I felt really good about actually being bored in a time where we had snow days and we didn't have to go to school.
Yeah, there was no way you were gonna you think they're gonna have a class all day long? That would just be cruel.
It'd be so funny though.
Well, that's one of the perks of being born in the analog age, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
But we are here. Fully digitized. I want to catch up on some releases from the past few weeks, kind of round up the month of August, and we're going to be in the home stretch from the fall through the rest of the year. There's going to be a lot of things to talk about, but a lot of times this time of year is kind of slow for music. What did you think? Did you find out there was a lot of records the last few weeks that were perking your attention?
Yeah, August was surprisingly really stacked, and it looks like September is about to be as well. So, you know, we talked about, I think it was June was really stacked and feels like we had a little lull, and then August comes around and there's a lot of stuff to discuss.
Yeah, definitely. So what the first record I want to talk to you about, because it's been out for a couple weeks now, is Be the Cowboy by Mitski. This is, I believe it's her fifth full-length record. And second one on Dead Oceans. Were you a fan of hers before you heard this record, Nick?
I was, but not as much of a fan as I am now after this record. Love this record. I think it's really good. I also think, you know, it's one of the most accessible one. You know, I'd listened to it for a week or so, and then my wife and I went camping, and we put it on. One night, it was the first time she heard it, and she instantly fell in love with it. So, you know, I think it's very accessible, and I think it's the best Mitski record.
I think I agree with you on that. I'm really glad we got a chance to talk about it after it's been out for a few weeks, because it really, I think, rewards repeat play, and it's kind of it's compulsively listenable. It's kind of not very long. A lot of the songs are short, and it grows on you more and more every time you listen to it. So I think you just kind of want to put it back on because you know you're going to like it even more the next time you hear it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's her best album that I've heard. I haven't heard her first one that was released, I think, when she was still in college. But I think this one it feels kind of cinematic to me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm watching a movie when I'm listening to this record. I see a lot of images, and like it's kind of noirish. I think there's crime involved in this movie. Definitely some romance, and you know, I think it ends with a bang, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, it's funny because when I first listened to it, I was kind of, I really liked it, but the only knock I had, I was like, I wish, insert name of song, I wish this song had one more chorus.
Yeah.
I wish I could, and now, you know, I'm kind of into the idea of just letting it roll through several times. Mm-hmm. And just waiting for that song to come back or those few songs. But I did have a question for you. Are you team St. Vincent or team Mitski?
Oh, I'm team Mitski all the way.
Okay.
I've never been a St. Vincent person, and I've tried over and over again.
This is the closest it comes to St. Vincent, I think, though, for Mitski. Don't you think?
You think they would be the closest comparison?
Yeah, this record and
yeah, maybe. I don't. I think of her as more, I guess, theatrical and kind of conceptual than Mitski.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is pretty conceptual or theatrical to me.
It's funny that you say that because when I think about her, Mitski, in my head and her music before this album came out, and like the previous two records were Puberty 2 mm-hmm. and Bury Me at Makeout Creek, which were, in my mind, I think of her as kind of a post-grunge guitar-based artist. And I think of her in like Liz Phair or right. like, I guess mostly 90s references. But the sound on this album is very different than Puberty 2, I think. It's yeah. a lot more polished. It's a lot lower key. And I can see why you might make those comparisons to St. Vincent. I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah. But only this record, right? That was, you know, I was kind of like, wow, I could see, like, you being a St. Vincent fan, and this is being the first Mitski record you like.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I think it will bring you to a wider audience for sure.
Right, right. Oh, I think it's, you know, it's already a critical darling. So, you know, and it's not only that; it's, as I said, very listenable. So, I would expect that as well.
I was reading a little bit about her in, you know, different articles over the past few weeks. And she's, you know, she's half American, half Japanese, and ended up settling and lived in a bunch of places around the world growing up. And, she doesn't disclose what business her father is in. And she's very private. So it kind of, I like, sometimes the less you know about an artist, the more interesting they can seem musically. And her songs seem very personal. But also, you know, they're not so inward looking. There is a sense of theatricality and play and fun on this record. I mean, I think Nobody is one of the best singles of the year. And yeah. Everybody I know who's heard that song loves it. Yeah. And that's kind of, that's not something that I would have expected from her listening to her previous records.
Right, right. No, I agree. I think this might be actually the most mature record she's done. I don't know, it just feels so complete.
Yeah, like 33 minutes long. So yeah, I guess we both recommend that.
I think this is one of the best records of August, I would say.
I think it's definitely one of my most listened to records of the year so far.
Yeah, agree.
In the short weeks that it's been out. And I look forward to seeing her here next month sometime. Nice. I think she's playing the Wheel Turn. So that'll be fun. Nick, what else caught your attention in August?
So why don't we talk about this Interpol record?
Oh, Interpol. You know, all right. It's on now.
Kind of I would say a juice box favorites, like the band.
Well, we talked many podcasts ago about the book Meet Me in the Bathroom that a lot of people seem to have read over the course of this year, right? And
yeah.
And we talked about the Voids album a few months ago. You know, this was the sweet spot. And I think did we take sides on this whole debate in terms of the most kind of important not the most important, but our favorite band to come out of this era? I think you're the Strokes and I'm Interpol.
Right. Right, right. But not to say that I dislike Interpol. I really like Interpol.
Or that I don't like the Strokes.
Right, right.
But yeah. But it's an important distinction when you're thinking about a person.
I think it is. And we, just a caveat, you and I haven't talked about this album before this discussion.
We have not.
Yeah, so I'm very interested about this.
I think we're all caught up on sort of our stance on Interpol lately. You know, I think we saw them perform on the tour for their last record. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is Marauder. This is Interpol's sixth album, is it?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Right, number six.
Self-titled was four, and then El Pinto.
Yeah. So here we are, number six, the second one without Carlos D fully. Yeah. I think he recorded on the fourth album, but left before the tour.
He didn't tour with the fourth, exactly.
Paul Banks playing bass on the album, adding his guitar parts later. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Marauder?
Oh, it's probably one of my least favorite Interpol albums.
Okay, one of the least.
Well, with Interpol being kind of my least favorite, I think.
Okay, bottom two.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I read something about the album and it captured exactly how I felt, was that this album still feels stuck in 2001, 2002. And when I listened to this album, which I actually did this weekend, I ended up listening to Antics or Turn on the Bright Lights.
Okay.
Because, and I just turned it off and I want to listen to those 2001, 2002 sounds, but I can't explain how I can't get through the album. I get bored easily with this album. I'm very disappointed, I have to say. And, you know, if it'd been good, I would have spent the $60 that the show is that they're asking for the Portland show in February. But at this point, I'm not looking forward to going.
Okay. Well, you bring up two very important things in what I just heard from you, which I want to mention, which the first one being that it seems stuck in that early sound, like they're not evolving anywhere or becoming a kind of a, I don't know, for more developed band. Mm-hmm. And also that their ticket price at the show is $60. And I think there's a reason for both of those things, right? And they're kind of the biggest cult band in the world, or they have been for a while. Wow. And they're at this level, and I think this is the album to me that really means that they are a legacy band. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like, they're not going to change their sound. They're going to be the same version of the same thing forever. And they're going to keep on playing for big rooms. And that's what they're able to do. I'm going to go a different way. I think I really like Marauder a lot. I'm pretty surprised by it, but I think there's some major problems with it. And it's the production. There's something about the production that is like muddy and kind of like, they hired Dave Friedman to do this album, who is a pretty big producer, but was especially big in the heyday of Interpol. So they probably know him from those circles. They worked on like Deserter songs by Mercury Rev and all the hits from the Flaming Lips in the early 2000s, late 20th century. And I think his production hurts their sound on this album and takes away from some of the songs that I think are actually really good. And one thing you didn't mention, Nick, is yeah, you went back and listened to their first few records, but did you really go listen to El Pintor over this?
I'd rather listen to El Pintor over this. So like Interpol, they're self-titled. You know, there was one good song to me on that album, and that was Lights. I think that song is great. El Pintor, I think, you know, the first four songs, I just thought, oh, this is kind of a return to form. I'm into it. And it felt a little different than the other albums. But this one just feels, I don't know. I think you nailed it with the legacy band thing. I would agree. I just, you know, I think there's only so much you can do or they can do with that sound. Whereas a band like Beach House, actually, they're definitely a legacy band. They don't change that much. But somehow it still feels fresh, and I think it's the hooks are just still really good. And I just don't think the hooks are that good anymore. And I mean, again, like, I love Interpol. Like, I mean, I was I was at the beach, you know, this weekend, and I listened to Antics from front to back on the beach all by myself. And it was great.
That sounds great.
It was great. And I listened to it because I just couldn't listen to more than three songs in Marauder. But mm-hmm. I wanted to listen to Interpol. But I didn't want to listen to that Interpol.
Well, it's, I mean, when you're on a 30-foot yacht, you kind of want to listen to the hits, you know? You want some yacht rock to be blasting, and you're rolling around the south of France. You don't want to hear the new record.
Well, is Interpol yacht rock?
I think they got some, I mean, Camille from Antics, that might be, could be influenced by some yacht rock. I have to say, you said you had a hard time making it through this record. One of the best songs, if not my favorite song, is the last one. Mm-hmm. On the album, It Probably Matters, which I think has a great hook, and kind of reminds me of like a little bit of early Black Rebel Motorcycle Club and Oasis and some other things like that. I also really like the song Flight of Fancy. I think The Rover is a great single.
The Rover is my favorite song on the record.
You know, I like all the guitar playing. It just sounds like an Interpol album. It sounds like a really good legacy album. I wished that they had just produced it themselves, like they had been doing for most of their career, but they wanted to bring somebody in and kind of spice it up a little bit for this record. Mm. I just find the production to be kind of like overly busy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Makes it kind of muddy to me.
Yeah. I think also, I don't really like the sequencing of the album either. I don't know if you found that too. Like, I liked The Rover as a single when it came out, and then I wish that was the first song on the album, because I would have been more into the idea of, you know, like, this album. But
so you got through two songs on this album. It sounds
no, I've listened to it. I've listened through it, but I have a hard time going through it. But you know,
and there's definitely a couple interludes that are unnecessary.
Sure.
On the album.
Yeah, number one and number two.
Number one and number two.
Yeah. Okay.
I think if you're like an Interpol super fan, like there's no reason. I don't see a reason why you wouldn't like this record. If you liked the last one, and I mean, especially if you like the self-titled, which I don't think I've actually listened to since the year it came out. Mm-hmm. And I have it on vinyl even, and it's cut like a 45 in the middle, so you have to put an adapter on. I just never listened to it.
Yeah.
So, and it just, and I remember just being really dull.
Yeah.
So I go back to the early stuff, but I think I'm going to go back to this one a little bit. Ask me in a year, at the end of the year, it might be a different story. I might just be excited to hear the Interpol formula again and then never listen to it again, but I hold out some hope for maybe not.
Yeah. Do you ever listen to El Pintor?
No.
Did you like that album?
I did, yeah. But not as much as I like this one. Not as much as this one.
Okay.
I'm more enthusiastic.
So which Interpol album do you listen to the most these days?
Probably Antics, because me I just too. Go in, because if you're just going in for like the quick hits.
Six songs are like hit after hit, yeah.
But if, you know, if I'm going to listen to like the whole thing, I'll put on the first one. But,
yeah,
you know, I always hear Rest My Chemistry from Our Love to Admire. I hear that song a lot in like restaurants on satellite radio.
One of the weirdest album covers, by the way, Our Love to Admire.
Yeah. Is that from the Museum of Natural History somewhere?
I think so. Yeah. The deer.
Like it. I like animal, like hyper realistic animal imagery though.
Yeah.
That's just a thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Split on Interpol.
Definitely split on Interpol. What else was up there this month?
Do you want to chat about Blood Orange?
Yeah, Blood Orange. Did you like it?
I was hoping you'd say yes, because if you say no, like, okay, it's not then. I did like it. I didn't like it as much as the last one. I have to say, I've only listened to it twice, so a little bit of, maybe with more time, I'd like it more. I really enjoyed Cooking to It, I have to say. I wanted to bring that up. Really good cooking album. I think it's really a really ambitious album.
Now, when you're cooking, do you bring out a grill onto the deck of the boat, or is there like an actual kitchenette inside that's fully equipped?
On the boat, I actually have somebody do the cooking for me.
Okay. So it's also like you listen to this while you're cooking.
I'm watching that person cook. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Usually they bring in fresh produce from the land. So that's a must. So, you know, given that, this album is great. I really like it. I think he came through Portland a few days ago. Missed that a little bit. But I think if you like Blood Orange, I mean, you'll love this one. It's a little different than, you know, Freetown Sound. I think Freetown Sound is still a little bit better just because the hits are so good. I don't think that this really has a single. There's a decent amount of spoken word, and but I find it pretty ambitious. What about you? Did you listen to it?
Well, you said you didn't think it had a single. I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. I was there a song on this album? I don't really know. I listened to it twice. Mm-hmm. The second time was like pulling teeth in a road trip. And I mean, it's just going to have to be a no for me, dog.
It has Steve Lacy, though.
It does have Steve Lacy. I listened up for that. I I did listen harder on that song, but no, wasn't feeling it. I just found it to be a snooze. Right. You know, I like some of the stuff he's done in the past and songs he's written for other artists. But I going back all the way to when he was on the Britpop scene with Lightspeed Champion, never really been a fan. And I really wanted to like this album because there's a lot of the songs had kind of storytelling behind them, and he's a super interesting guy, but I just found it to be super dull.
Yeah, I think I liked it because of, you know, again, all that, it just feels ambitious compared to, let's say, Interpol, who just put out the same old, you know, I'm being mean, but
this felt like Kessler's, you know, like on the ground and his suit is getting dirty. You need to help him up, keep kicking him.
I just think jabs. You know, at least, you know, he's taking some interesting chances, you know. So yeah, I mean, I probably won't listen to it as much as Freetown Sound, but I think A+ for effort.
Okay. All right. Well, I like the album cover too. I like the photo on the cover is really nice.
I guess it's a swan.
It's a swan, I think. Yeah.
I like all his album covers, to be honest.
I really like that song he wrote with Solange, "Losing You." Mm-hmm. That's, to me, been the high point of his career so far.
And "Best to You" on Freetown Sound was pretty awesome.
Right. Well, he's doing something right, headlining the Greek Theater this week.
Right.
Big rooms. A band that I think is going to be playing bigger and bigger rooms coming up is Idols.
Oh, you stole it from me.
You're ready? You're ready with this one?
I'm ready.
Second record, Joy as an Act of Resistance. Mm-hmm. Just pretty soon after the first album, Brutalism.
Because that was like your number of...
Yeah, year and a half or so. It got an American release a little bit later, I think, but about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
What'd you think about this record?
I love this record. That is probably my record of the month of August.
It's been a good month. Yes. Yeah, so this is a punk band kind of... I keep thinking of them and Shame in the same kind of ballpark in my head. This, you know, their first albums coming out of the UK, kind of very progressive punk bands that have an energy about them that seems like they could really like take over. Mm-hmm. And what do you think stacked up to their first record? Do you like this one more?
No, I think they're even. You know, I actually struggle to figure out which one I want to listen to. And right now I put this one on more because I haven't listened to it as much as the first one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's just, I love what they're doing. I think you described them as like art school punk once to me. And I just think it's, their lyrics are so interesting. Even on this song, it feels like their song structure is even like has evolved a little bit. You know, case in point, the first song, the single Colossus, the first time you listen to it, you might be thinking you're listening to two different songs.
Yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah,
me too. I was like, I had to check, you know, because it was streaming in. I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, and then when you listen to it again, you realize, oh, there's actually a little bit of talking in between that break.
Mm-hmm.
And that song doesn't really have a traditional structure to it. And then it goes into the second song, which might be my favorite song of the album, Never Fight a Man with a Perm.
It's good advice.
Those lyrics, if you have a chance to read them, is so, so good. Let's just say we should all walk around with a bag of Charlie Sheen. I love this. They're coming to Portland early October. I think, you know, it might be a dangerous show for your health, for your safety, but probably well worth it. What about you? You like it?
Yeah, very much. I agree with you. Like, I think it's pretty much right on par with their first record. It's like equal, and not better or worse. They're both really great. Mm-hmm. This band lyrically is super interesting. I mean, a lot of the songs tackle, I think, you know, politics, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a song, Danny Nedelko, which is about an immigrant, and is literally just about how immigrants are good, and has no, it not even, doesn't even dive into politics at all, and is kind of this very, very simple song that I think is just fantastic. And a lot of songs talk about toxic masculinity. It makes me sometimes think of the Alex Kamen record from last year that I love so much.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This weekend I described them to a friend as, you know, as you did, as art school punk, but I said it's surprising because at first glance, if you listen to their music, you might have a form biased about who they are, but they're surprisingly feminist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's, I found out, you know, the guitar player is actually a dentist and still practice dentistry in London. I guess, I don't know if he just closes the office when they go on tour. But he's quoted in the interview as saying he loves being in the band and he also loves being a dentist. And this is a guy with like a huge handlebar mustache. I think the album is great. It's so much fun to listen to. The same road trip, well, different parts of the same trip that I was listening to the Blood Orange record, I put this album on, and even driving through, you know, beautiful rolling hills, it was really fun to listen to.
Yeah. No, this is I listened to this album on the plane.
I have a great plane record experience recently to talk to you about, but
oh yeah,
we weren't really gonna, I mean, how was this one on the plane?
It wasn't a great plane experience, but it was a great listen, if that makes sense. Like, I guess to your point, I could listen to this anywhere.
There you go.
You know, but this is also like, you know, if you did a Venn diagram of my cup of tea for music, this falls somewhere in the middle. So,
it's getting a little, almost a little too punk for me, but it stops, it gets right to the edge that I'm comfortable with, yeah. Which where he hasn't started screaming yet on all this. So,
right. Right.
That's good. It is pretty shouty, but I can get behind shouty.
Yeah, it's shouty, but I mean, the lyrics just make it so good to listen to.
Yeah, I agree. You know? And I saw them at Primavera, you know, earlier in the summer, and they were fantastic. Their date here is sold out and has been for a while. I think they're starting to become a going concern over here in the States. So
that's cool. Are you going to?
It is so. One of my very favorite artists in history, Jarvis Cocker, is performing that night in LA. I'm going to try to make it happen where I can see both, because I think one is starting earlier than the other. But stay tuned on that, America. I'll update you on the next episode. Yes. Well, hopefully we've done a few more episodes by then. It's in the middle of the month next month.
Gotcha.
We're catching up. We're a little rusty here, but we're getting back into it. But yeah, great plane record. This will be just a preview of what we might talk about in the future. I know you haven't had a chance to listen to this, but the new Spiritualized album, And Nothing Hurt, great plane experience.
Okay.
You might doze off, but like it seriously, when I say that music puts me to sleep, that is a huge compliment.
Okay. Okay. So I need to check that out before the next episode and I'll report back.
I need something besides slow dive for once. Yeah. And it did the trick.
Any other albums or artists you want to talk about? I have a couple more, but you just picked titles, but I'd let you pick another one.
Well, you mentioned before that you didn't know if we'd have enough time, but I think we have a few seconds, Nick, if you want to give your opinion on Kamikaze by Eminem.
I haven't listened to it, and I don't care to listen to it.
Okay, that All was right. Nick's opinion on Kamikaze by Eminem. Okay. I haven't listened to it, but I might. That's mine. All right. What else we got?
I kind of wanted to touch on this album from, I think you told me about her, Milena Zavala.
Oh, dude, yes.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you for sending that to me. Her album is called Aliso, I think. Aliso?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love this. Like, stack it up in the great cooking albums of 2018. Yes. The self-titled song on the album is unbelievable to me. Like, it's a instrumental song, but I could just play that on repeat, you know, 5 times in a row. It's beautiful.
I'm really glad you checked this out because yesterday was a Sunday. It was kind of a sleepy Sunday. Been, you know, get my immune system back up to pace. I needed to just rest, read a book. And I played this album all day long.
Nice.
Just yesterday. Yeah, and I've really like fallen for it in a way that I hadn't even before.
It feels like one of those albums that you kind of just want to listen to on your own, a little intimate, you know? This is my album. You don't even want to share it at a party. Like, oh, hey, Hunter, put your music on. You're a big music guy. No.
No,
I don't want to share this.
Yeah, no, not that. I don't think for a big party, this is probably the right album. I mean, I think that if you're thinking about it, the most obvious comparison is Beach House probably, but I've kind of, the more you listen to it, the less it reminds me of that.
You know, you send that to me and I kind of, I was like, I see why you're saying Beach House, but it's really, you know, if you say that to people, I think it's a little misleading. Like they might have a preconceived idea of what it's going to sound like.
It's probably
not
true.
Not at all like it. I try to think about, I don't know if you ever listened to this artist called Heather Woods Broderick.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's from Portland, and she she released her last album, reminded me a lot of this album, kind of in the same vein, but just beautiful, beautiful stuff. I would love to see her live. I haven't checked to see if you know she's touring or anything, but
yeah, she's from Argentina. I think she has been doing some dates in Europe. I don't know if I have not a clue if she has come to the States yet, but I'm amazed by this album. It's all the work of one person. She wrote and performs everything on the record. And it's just dreamy, kind of really great guitar playing. Some of my favorite guitar playing on any record this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that song, the self-titled song, Aliso, is amazing. Like the guitar lines on it are just so good.
Yeah, she's got like just a knack for hooks on the guitar, especially like that make her kind of dreamy voice and gives energy to these songs that could be kind of slower or, you know, more atmospheric.
Does she play guitar herself?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think she plays every single instrument on the album.
Jeez, that's too much.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Aliso, that's a sleeper, I think a sleeper hit for this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if it be, you know, if it catches on at some point. I can see her putting out another album in like a year or a year and a half from now, and that being like a much bigger deal.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, check that one out.
Yes, everybody should.
What else? You said you had a couple more.
Yeah,
put out an album. Did you listen to it?
What do you think? So, what did I text you when it first? Oh, I think I started listening to it and I couldn't get Apple Music to update my Idols pre-release. It was still showing only 2 singles. And you were saying, dude, it's out. I'm telling you.
It's out.
And I finally got to unlock the Idols full release while I was on the third song of All Nothing. I was like, yep, listening to Idols instead, switching over. And unfortunately, I haven't gone back to Wild Nothing since, I have to say. So I don't really have an opinion.
You know, I listened to it and I thought it sounded pretty good, but I've kind of lost some of my, you know, interest in them. It's a weird, like when they got a bigger budget and started recording more professionally, something was kind of lost for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I really like that first album, Indigo especially. But, you know, I thought it sounded pretty good, but it wouldn't be something that I would listen to all the time, but it reminded me of nice, like kind of hipster hotel lobby music.
Did you ever see them live?
Never have, no.
I saw them at Doug Fir on his last tour, and it was a weird show because, you know, they played all the hits, and I like a lot of their early stuff, especially off Nocturne. And it just felt like, you know, all the songs individually sound really good, but together at the show, it would just kind of felt a little bit all over the place. It was a weird show. Like, I enjoyed it, but somehow it wasn't like a through thread. You know, I don't know how to explain it. Like, there was like a weird, like, usually shows have this like climax point to the show, and then the really good bands are able to maintain it for a while, and then you get to the encore, and usually it's like, hopefully it's the best part of the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, you know, these almost like flat the whole time, like high, 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 high. And after the fourth or fifth songs, you were kind of like exhausted from it. So I don't know if I'm describing it right, but because of that, I just, yeah, same to you. I'm kind of a little out on it.
Yeah, you know, the song sounded pleasant enough. I like hearing his voice, but, you know, it's not something that I'm going to put on and listen to. Like, I would listen to one of his other records or something probably different. I like to hear him try to do a different kind of project and see where his songwriting could lead using, I don't know, getting him a completely new set of tools somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
One other record I really liked in August, I forgot about this one. It's Acts of Fear and Love by Slaves.
Oh, yeah.
They're like this weird punk duo from the UK. The singer is the drummer, but he doesn't sit when he plays drums. He stands.
Yeah.
And just has like two drums. And then there's a guitar player. And they've been kind of a going concern for a few records in the UK. That I never really connected with, but because they didn't really like the songs, just weren't catchy enough. Mm-hmm. And now they finally put out an album that the songs are like all really, really good, I thought. And yeah, it's so fun. I really like this album a lot.
Yeah, I really like it too. And it's funny because like they sound so different from, you know, Shame and Idols. Yet I think they're in the same vein. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but
yeah, definitely.
But, you know, it's really, you know, we talked about British punk a lot in the early part of the year and how you felt there was a movement going on there that we should pay attention to. And I think, you know, this is another example of that happening where you have all these bands that are playing in kind of a similar sphere of influence, yet they're so different in sound and all unique, like unique personalities that you could see all of these making it big, you know?
Slaves, I think, may even have the most, at least at this point, mainstream appeal.
Right.
I think they're on a major label here in the US. I saw they're playing at David Grohl's Cali Jam Festival next month, which is kind of like a more of like a major label thing. But yeah, these songs are all like really catchy and kind of fun, but there's definitely the same kind of energy behind it as with Shame and Idols, and kind of a tipping point has been hit with, I think, some societal things that make these bands very relevant right now.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I was trying to see, it doesn't seem like they're coming touring much of the U.S. In the near future. But
well, also the problem was with their band name Slaves. I think there's probably like four other bands with the same name.
There is an American band, I think, called Slaves as well.
I don't know if they have to bill themselves as Slaves UK. Like Suede is still to this day the London Suede in the U.S.
Mm. Yeah.
They have a new album coming out next week. I'm sure people are really excited about that one.
You are.
That's true. But I'm, you know, I'm one of the only ones. I'm one of the wild ones, as they would say.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, there's a few things, you know, maybe we'll keep for the next episode that have come out in September that we'll probably talk about.
Yeah, we're going to keep this all August because we're going to catch up with some September releases really, really soon with you guys.
By then, Hunter will have listened to the Eminem album at least 3 times.
Yes, I promise I'll have some hot takes on Eminem coming up. It was a lot coming out. So, you know, let's sum up the month of August because a lot of people were on sabbatical during this time. We started out really, really well with the Love Language at the beginning of the month.
Yep.
And the Foxing album, which we talked about a little bit on the last episode too with our emo talk. Have you continued listening to that one at all, Nick?
I have, yeah. I have quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I found myself going back to that one a lot too, Nearer My God by Foxing. Yeah. And then we both love the Mitski record.
Yes.
We're all in on that.
Agreed.
Thumbs up on Idols.
Thumbs way up.
Surprisingly mixed verdict on Interpol. You know, I'm glad to hear you say this, Nick, because I thought you were going to be, I just assumed that we were going to be on lockstep on this one. I think it's their fourth best record, but that's still a recommendation for me.
Yeah.
And you put it more like 5, possibly 6.
5. I think Interpol is the weakest one. Even though Lights is such a great record for me, such a great song, sorry.
Yeah, I think I'll hear Lights when they put out a greatest hits sometime, and I'm just streaming that because I don't think I've heard it. I can't even. I remember there was a video where there was Lights. I don't know.
No, it was a weird video. You don't remember? It was like these.
Okay, I obviously didn't see that.
Two women in like black leotards in a black and gray room injecting each other with like black goo. It was a weird video. It was cool, very artsy, but.
I think I was out on Interpol that year. I think I missed that one somehow. Great. Well, we'll have to see you guys next time. We need some ratings and some reviews, you guys. Snow, get us started again. Revving up the engine.
Let's do it.
We're going to have to talk about a lot coming up this fall. 5-star ratings, reviews on iTunes. Get your friends to subscribe to this.
Subscribe your fans for you.
Download Stitcher onto their phone or however they do it these days.
Yeah, go to the podcast app and just subscribe while you're in the bathroom.
You know, a lot of people look away from their phone. And yeah. You know you're going through there anyway, spying, doing something.
Yeah, write a review for them. What's wrong with you?
Do it. Yeah, why are you waiting on them to write the review after you subscribe? Just go ahead and write the review. Just make sure it's filled in correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you 5 seconds. They'll never know that you did anything. And it's not a bad thing.
And then keep their Apple ID password. It could come in handy one day.
You never know when you're going to have to call emergency responders from a phone that you don't know the password to.
Exactly. So, you know, just do it, please. We need it.
All right. We will talk to you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.